Warden Clinton T. Duffy on the subject of the American penal system and capital punishment is this morning's Talkback personality. Good morning and welcome once again to the award-winning radio show called Talkback, presented as an area service of your friends and neighbors at the Edwards Division of the Bates Manufacturing Company. This is the People's Program and some days open to incoming telephone calls for those of you who wish to join us in conversation. On such days, all you need do is call our Talkback number, but today our program is on tape, so the usual offer to call in and ask questions does not present itself. Our guest of the morning is Clinton T. Duffy, the former warden of San Quentin Prison in San Quentin, California. While in the area, Mr. Duffy gave us the time of day to sit in on the program and to discuss his current trip to the state of Maine and to pass along some of his experiences and his long career having to do with a penal institution. In just a moment, we'll be asking questions of Warden Duffy and trying to anticipate what some of our listeners might be interested in. Warden Clinton T. Duffy, our guest of the morning on our broadcast, has a background which reads like a who's who. As an introduction to our guest, he began correctional career on November 1, 1929, as secretary to warden of state prison at San Quentin. 1937 to 1940, he was secretary, the Board of Prisons, Terms, and Paroles. July 1940, named warden of San Quentin Prison. The prison population at that time was 5,500, and he had a staff of 640 people. He remained warden until elevated to the adult authority, the parole board, on December 28, 1951. Reappointed March 15, 1953. Last appointment March 15, 1957. Vice chairman for 3.5 years, 10 years as member of California Board of Corrections, and member of the Governor's Advisory Pardon Board. There are other credits that we can pass along insofar as Warden Duffy is concerned, and we'll probably get to these as we get into the broadcast. I thought, first of all, we'd welcome you to the state of Maine, Warden Duffy. You having been on a great many of these programs, the Joe Pyne Show, and just recently on the Today Show, I understand.
That's right, and I believe it's tomorrow, or one of these days soon, we're going to be on the To Tell the Truth Show.
Good. Well, then you've had experience in so far as this public exposure and the public media is concerned, and I am sure that you're presenting a story to the nation as a whole, and I think that one factor involves the matter of capital punishment. It is my, not assumption, but I understand from what I've been able to read here that you, as a past official in penal work, that you fully favor the abolishment of capital punishment, and I suppose that you have good reason to support this belief.
Well, yes, I have. It's all recorded in a book that I wrote called 88 Men and 2 Women. And I'm not plugging the sale of the book because you cannot buy it.
Oh?
It is off the stands, but it is available in the libraries. And I have had to officiate at the legal execution of 90 people, 88 men and 2 women. And I participated with a previous warden in the execution of 60 additional inmates at San Quentin. Now, the first types of executions were hanging. And then when I became warden, I had one hanging and 89 lethal gas. The law was changed.
I suppose anyone with any feelings, human emotions, having experienced what you have, that you would have a feeling of this nature for the abolishment of capital punishment as such.
Well, people, you know, ask me the question. They say, when did you change your mind on capital punishment, the death penalty? And why did you change your mind? And it's only one word answer, never. I've always been against the death penalty, even as a youngster. I was born and raised in the prison town of San Quentin. My father was a prison guard, and I was the seventh of a family of eight, and I watched prisoners and was with them around our homes and the school grounds and where we played all of my life. And I guess I saw that it wasn't equal in the way it was being handled. We had prisoners working in our home whose crimes were exactly the same, if not worse, than some of those who were hanged that very day when I was a youngster. And so I guess that bothered me, possibly because my father was against it as a prison official and my mother against it. It may have had some bearing, but I think one of the biggest reasons I'm against the death penalty is that it is wrong to kill. It's wrong for these people in our penitentiaries who have killed. They have done a terrible thing, and there's no rhyme or reason why they should have gone that far. And I think it is wrong for the state to kill. Two wrongs do not make a right.
How extensive is the death penalty around the country as a whole in the United States?
Well, it's going out, actually, by disuse. We had one execution in the whole United States last year, And we've had one so far this year, and that was in California. In California, although they have 60 men on condemned row, there's only been one execution in 4.5 years. They're not using it much. I had an average of 9 a year during my 12 years as warden of San Quentin.
That was high, wasn't it?
It was fairly high, yes. Yeah. I'd had as high as 13.
Yeah.
And some other years be maybe 7 or 8.
And I take it that the emotions of this moment are for the abolishment of it, even in California.
Not actually.
Not actually.
Not altogether.
No.
Why? I guess possibly because, the apathy on the part of the public. Unless it hits home, unless it hits them, they just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many of them do. I'm not talking about everybody, but I'm saying the majority. They say it's good enough for them, unless it hits their loved one. And then you'll see them change right over. But that's part of it. And it's a process of education, getting the people to understand that prisoners who have murdered are not being released to murder again. Because when you ask somebody to name a prisoner who has gone out that has killed again, you can rarely get anybody that knows of one. They'll just talk about it when it is not altogether true. Yes, even one murder again is too many. But it isn't the way the public thinks it is at all. There are very few people who kill again. Now, most of them are kept in prison, all men and all women who commit crimes. Whether it be murder or otherwise, are not released.
Mm-hmm.
Some have to die in prison because they can never make it on the outside. The general public feels generally that, well, you let people out, you let them all out. That is not true.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, we know what your attitude has been. You have been very much connected with this type of work. What about other workers, penal workers, people such as yourself who have been in this for a number of years? What is their general attitude?
Well, as you said, I've been in prison work all my life, and I've known only 3 wardens who have ever been before the death penalty. There may be more, but I've only known of 3 in my lifetime. They're all feel that it should be abolished, with the exception of a very few.
Those who were for it, what was their justification?
Well, I imagine retribution, or better get rid of these murderers.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, huh?
Yes, that's right.
What about the situation involved insofar as the prisoner who is listed for the death penalty, and we suddenly find that this goes through, he's executed. Later on, we find that he was not actually guilty. Have there been many cases of this type?
There have been some, and they are recorded in books. In fact, in my book, 88 Men and 2 Women, I believe it was the state of Maine that abolished the death penalty way back in 1887 because an innocent person had been executed who later was proven to be innocent.
This type of thing, if this happened in the state of Maine, I would then tend to believe that if it should happen in some other state, that this might be a further incentive for a lot of people to suddenly decide that they were in favor of the abolishment of capital punishment.
I'm sure it would be if it were a regular thing. Now, it has happened in other states. It doesn't happen very often. I have never known of an innocent person to have been executed in California.
Mm-hmm.
I know that many of them say they are innocent, but it's never been proven that they were innocent.
That's
the courts
point,
have committed them, and later on it was never proven that they were innocent.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to come back to you for a moment. I understand that you mentioned some of your writings. You've done an extensive number of writings, the book, The San Quentin Story, Warden's Wife, 88 Men and 2 Women, Sex and Crime. Let's see, what else? You've appeared on a great many shows, and you're doing personal appearances. And what is it all concerned with?
All concerned with crime.
With crime.
And crime prevention. Warden's Wife, of course, was written by my wife, Gladys Duffy. And it is only available in the libraries, but it is a good book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real good book from a woman's viewpoint.
Standpoint, yeah.
Of prisoners and prisons and our life. She was 10 months old when she came to San Quentin. I was born there.
This is an interesting point. This must be a great psychological factor insofar as a family of a warden is concerned, having to be on these premises and to the atmosphere, to deal in this every day, day in, day out.
And then to become the warden of the prison and to stay there until I was promoted to a higher position.
Was your family able to adjust easily to this, or was this a difficult thing?
This is part of our lives, to be prisoners in our homes, prisoners in our gardens. When I was a warden, we had 12 prisoners around our home. 7 of them worked in the house because it was large, and we had a caretaker and a furnace man and the like, and they all lived right there, slept there, within 50 yards of our own home. Mm-hmm. And I'd be away, Mrs. Duffy was safer, and they were all murderers.
Is that so?
All of them were in for murder.
Right.
And they slept outside the walls. They could have walked over the hill any night. Nothing ever happened. She was safer than she would be on any street in anybody's city anywhere, because they liked her. And their incident is over. This is what the public do not understand about a person, the average person who commits murder. They have an incident, and they're not going to kill anybody else. It's all over. It's a bad thing.
It's a one-time thing.
It's a terrible thing that happened, but they're not going to go out and kill you or anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it rarely, if ever, happens.
Yeah. I want to ask something. Just recently, as I pointed out to you before the broadcast, we were visiting in the San Francisco area, and we were across the bay and looking right at Alcatraz. I understand Alcatraz was shut down several years ago, and we wondered, and we never did have this answered, what happened to all the prisoners who were on Alcatraz?
Well, they were shopped out to the various federal penitentiaries throughout the United States, according to the individual where they fit the best. And there was a new one in the state of Minnesota and Illinois. There are 2 new ones.
Yeah.
And so they had room for those. There's only about 280 or 90 prisoners on Alcatraz.
Is that so?
Less than
that
300.
Few, huh? That few. Yeah.
And they had more officers than they had prisoners.
Right.
But very expensive to operate and deteriorating. Had a barge all the water over there, so now it is vacant.
Right. It was interesting, too, in traveling the area to see San Quentin.
Yes.
Something that traditionally we'd heard about, but, you know, when you actually see the place, it has a starkness to it. One thing was about the coloration of the buildings there, and I understand they painted them a different color.
Well, I guess that's my fault.
Is that so? You take all responsibility?
It took about 3 budgets to get the paint. In order to do that, to get away from those old grim gray walls that we always hear about, you know, we painted them in pastel colors. It's easier on people, it's easier on their eyes, and it looks better. You know, may I make one more comment on something I read about since I've been east, and that was Mayor Lindsay's statement in New York that they are going to send a whole lot of these offenders, a lot of them felonies, who can be back into the community as workers instead of to the penitentiaries.
Mm-hmm.
As part of their probation, you go back to work. And I would add one more thing to it if I were able to, and I'd say make them reimburse those who they have offended as part of their therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for us to pay back somebody we stole from. It's not good to get by with it now. You're going to eliminate a whole lot of these more petty crimes that go to our penitentiaries. And you won't have to build as many of these millions of dollars of big buildings to house more criminals, because they'll be handled on a public level with safety and with good dispatch.
Do you feel that many of the laws in our books are archaic in nature and that we should review that too?
Well, that is going on in most states. You know, they have a review of the penal code and a revision of the penal code through committees and legislatures. I think we have enough penal laws to handle just about anything that comes along, including narcotics, including murder, including everything else.
Yeah. Warden Clinton T. Duffy is our guest of the morning on the program. I want to ask one parting question here. Do you feel that there is a great danger with the young first offender who is thrown in with the hardened criminal? That probably is, it speaks for itself.
Oh, yes, it very definitely does. And that's where this measure that Mayor Lindsay has proposed could be used to, in a great number of the cases, not send these first offenders to prison unless they are dangerous persons in the community, and put them back to work on probation and make them pay for their those they have offended.
Great pleasure having you here on our program today. It isn't too often that we get somebody of your caliber and somebody who has had such great experience in a very important facet of living today as it so stands. And we want to thank you for coming in to our studios. Much success to you in your trip throughout the state of Maine.
Thank you, and we are enjoying Maine, Mrs. Duffy and I.
Very good. Join us again tomorrow. Let's make that on Monday at 9:30 for another Talkback edition. At that time, our usual program having to do with gardening and growing will be on tap. So join us then at 9:30 when your friends and neighbors at the Edwards Division of Bates present another Talkback. Norm Gallant speaking. This is your main attraction.
WFAU 1340.